You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW 88.3 FM in Salt Lake City. I'm producer Emily Means. I'm filling in for Jason Mathis today. And in the studio with me, I've got Brian Kelm from the Utah Blues Festival here. Brian, let's make some music.
Absolutely,
right?
Emily. I've been wanting to forever.
We've got you in here so we can like play some harmonica, some blues guitar, right? That's what you're doing here. Now you're actually here to talk about the festival, which is coming up this Saturday. And why don't you first tell us a bit about the blues, because it's an older music genre, right?
It most definitely is. It is the foundation of all other American music to come. You know, you wouldn't have rap, not even jazz, bluegrass, and definitely not rock. As the Muddy Waters song says, the blues had a baby and they named it rock and roll. There's just such a direct correlation that you can't dispute that. You're crazy. Rock and roll came directly out of the blues of the 40s and the 50s and wouldn't exist without the blues. It's just America's greatest contribution to music, and it needs to be preserved, and it needs to be disseminated to as large of an audience as we can.
Right, and it truly is American music, right? Like the history of it has its roots down south, comes from what, African spirituals?
African rhythms and drumming. And so, you know, some people would argue that it came from Africa. Well, yes and no. The people who made it were Americans. They happened to be of African-American descent, but it didn't start, as we know it, in Africa. It started in Mississippi, in the cotton fields of Mississippi, just before the turn of the century. The blues as we know it, but obviously there's African rhythms and pieces of music that are incorporated into modern-day blues that did happen across, you know, the water over in Africa. But the blues as we know it, Chicago blues, Texas blues, 12-bar blues, 8-bar blues, is distinctly American out of the African-American experience of slavery.
Right. Is it always sad?
Absolutely not. The blues, see, that's the big misconception. I don't want to go to a blues show. It's so sad. No, man. The blues is happy. If you're feeling bad, it'll make you feel better. If you're feeling good, it'll make you feel great. It's very uplifting and soulful music. And is very happy music, largely, especially more contemporary blues, is very happy and danceable and energetic. And if people would just give it a chance, it's like I say, everybody's a blues fan. They just might not know it yet. But as soon as you take them to the Stateroom or Red Butte Garden or Urban Lounge or the Depot or the third annual Utah Blues Festival, and they give it a chance, you get to watch their mouth drop down to the floor. And they look at you like, what? This is blues? This is killer. And you're like, I know. I've been trying to tell you this.
So people can experience this this Saturday. And this is the third annual Blues Festival. Is it really the third, though?
No, not really. I did this, started a festival with Greg Daniels called the R&B Rendezvous. But because nobody could spell rendezvous and put it in their search engine, we just changed, rebranded it to the more ubiquitous and more descriptive Utah Blues Festival. Much easier. But we did it for 6 years and just rebranded it the Utah Blues Festival. But it's the same people. It benefits the Utah Blues Society before the Utah Blues Society, which came into being 3 years ago in its recent incarnation. It went to either like KRCL, we raised money for. And then the years before that was for medical expenses for whoever just came onto our radar. And we raised a couple of grand for various people, friends of blues, that were uninsured and needed medical expenses. And this year, of course, now as of the last couple of years, since the Utah Blues Society came into being, it is our biggest fundraiser for the Utah Blues Society.
And what are some of the programs through the society that the festival will help fund?
Well, probably, arguably, our biggest is the BITS program, so-called Blues in the Schools. It's an international program which the Blues Foundation in Memphis, Tennessee, our mothership, so to speak, coordinates, and being one of their over 200 affiliates worldwide, we have our local program of BITS. So we go into the schools throughout Salt Lake County, and we even want to expand it. Heck, we'll go to make a road trip to St. George or Logan or whatever as we grow it. And this year, we've really grown it already. And take blues to the schools, to these mostly middle schoolers, and start off a bit academic and where it came from. And as we just talked about, the African-American slavery situation, which the blues spawned directly out of. Bring it up to speed, how it influenced all American music, how rock and roll came to be from it, and what do you like? And somebody will raise their hand and they'll say, oh, I like ABC. Well, did you know that ABC, and invariably we can somehow tie A, B, and C. A lot of times they'll say rap. And do you know rap came directly out of blues? And maybe we'll play or cite them to like Louis Jordan from the 1940s, who was doing rap way before the turn of the century, contemporary rap. And so we kind of bring it up to speed, and then we say, and this is what it sounds like, play some, and this is, here's a harmonica. And we buy a bunch of harmonicas from Horner. We get 100 harmonicas. We'll buy a crate.
You've caused a lot of trouble for those teachers.
Yeah. Well, at least we're not getting them all drums, but we give them all harmonicas. We teach them a few licks, and you should see the smiles on their faces. And they go home, and they get to keep it, free harmonica, and maybe one day, you know, Salt Lake City or Utah will be known as, you know, that's where, you know, did you know that kid came out of Salt Lake City, that ripping blues harmonica player, guitar player or something in some way? I mean, we all have memories. Think of a memory of when you were a kid of some workshop or some guest teacher or something that affected you as a kid and that really resonated with you. And if we do that with just one kid, then our efforts are successful. And if we can sustain the blues for this younger generation, we'll consider ourselves successful. So that's a long answer to the, real briefly, aside from the blues in schools, Generation Blues, we will be sponsoring a kid to go to a blues camp, like there's one in Port Townsend, Washington, which is world famous, to let a budding young blues person expand on their craft. The International Blues Challenge happens every January in Memphis. Each blues society can send a blues band to Memphis for the International Blues Challenge to compete for the best blues band and to get a record contract and a shot on the Legendary Rhythm and Blues Cruise, etc. And then the Heart Fund. The Heart Fund is a fund that is set up to help blues musicians with particularly medical bills, but any things like that. Like, for example, last year's We gave a bunch of money to Mike Ricks, and Mike Ricks is an infamous bass player in town, played with the Tempo Timers amongst many other legendary blues bands, and great sound man, et cetera, all around good guy. His house burned down, so we helped him with that. So those are our four big programs. And, of course, just in general, to perpetuate more blues gigs around the valley and to get blues heard throughout Salt Lake County.
I'd love to talk a little bit later about how strong the blues culture is here in Utah, but let's go back to the festival. Who are some headliners, and what can we expect to hear this weekend?
Well, we got a great lineup this year, seven great bands from noon to 10. We start off, as we always do, with the UBS Youth Showcase Blues Band.
Now, are these the kids? You taught Those to are play some harmonica.
Of the, right. They can be. They're basically, it's like School of Rock type stuff, you know, Music Garage that Steve Auerbach runs. Right. He coordinates this and gets teenage kids to, and they're rehearsing as we speak and been rehearsing for 2 months. I heard them. They blew my mind. I couldn't believe it, especially this gal Courtney, their lead singer. She's amazing.
I bet teenagers make excellent blues musicians because they have lots of feeling.
Right. Yeah. My parents making me do my homework.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that ties in with our mission of keeping young people right. interested in the blues. And we're going to always start out the festival with a youth teenage blues band. Then we move to Acoustic Blues, A Better Off with the Blues, acoustic quartet, very popular here in the Valley. The longest-running blues band, Harry Lee and the Back Alley Blues Band after that. So some electric blues, particularly Chicago-style blues. Then we move to Houston with one of my favorites. She is going to steal the show, I guarantee you. She's never been here. Y'all probably haven't heard her or heard of her Anika Chambers, this big black woman, man, that just wails. She's amazing.
She's a singer.
Yeah, yeah. Great, great band behind her, too. I looked at her rider and who she's got playing with her. It's going to knock some doors off. And then equally so is another young woman out of Kansas City. She plays guitar and sings. I just found out that she's also bringing a horn section from New Orleans.
I'm such a sucker for horns.
Samantha Fish. So Samantha Fish follows that. That's going to be great, too. She's going to knock some socks off, too. Then we moved to an old classic who used to play like the Dead Goat and the Zephyr Club out of Los Angeles, one of the premier harmonica players, Rod Piazza. Rod Piazza and the Mighty Flyers, some great West Coast swing and blues. And our main headliner, as luck would have it, right after we booked him, he got nominated for a Grammy, lost out to a very talented Bobby Rush, but he still won a Blues Music Award for the album Bloodline. Kenny Neal out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, great harmonica player, guitar player, and vocalist, and also won Contemporary Blues Male Artist of the Year. So he just won two Blues Music Awards a couple of weeks ago in Memphis, so that was good timing on our part. And coincidentally, he has a son here that lives in Sandy that's a ripping trumpet player. So
is he playing with
we
him?
We fully expect him to be in town and to play with him, so
well,
yeah.
Brian, sounds like a pretty solid lineup for the weekend. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I think we'll talk about the blues in Utah. Let's take a real local perspective. And you're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. We'll be right back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. For podcasts and more local shows and lectures, follow us on iTunes or visit the Local Shows tab at kcpw.org. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm producer Emily Means, and I've been joined in studio by Brian Kelm from the Utah Blues Society, talking about the Utah Blues Festival coming up this weekend. But Brian, you're a blues man, and I want to know how you became a blues man, because, you know, not everyone grows up listening to the blues. We kind of take on whatever our parents are listening to, I think, at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank God I had cool parents. They weren't quite that cool that they were listening to Blind Lemon Jefferson and Muddy Waters, but I do distinctly remember my mom sitting in the middle of the living room with a bongo drum and listening to the Ink Spots.
That's very cool.
That's very cool.
Your mom was a bongo player.
Everybody thought my mom was just the cool. Man, your mom's so cool. It's great. She listens to this killer black music. And sitting there, she looked like a beatnik, super short hair. But mostly, honestly, it was my brothers. I have three older brothers, and every one of them were musicians. Two of them are still musicians to this day and play in bands in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And so we had a very small house and it was very cramped, three brothers in one bedroom. And there was just a stack of albums and it was always a fight, you know, who's owned that particular album. No, I traded you that. No, I bought that. No, we didn't. So thankfully, all of them were very much into rock and blues. So they had everything from the Allman Brothers to Zeppelin, and then in between they had some B.B. King, some Muddy Waters, Freddie King, and some like that. So they had a good mixture of it. So, of course, I get into the Beatles, the Allman Brothers, all that, but then I'd look at the song titles sometimes and I'd see, you know, Muddy Waters, Willie Dixon, B.B. King, and I was like, who are these guys? And I'd rifle through some more albums and I'd say, holy cow, there's B.B. King right there, and I put on Live at the Regal. And it just... I don't know how to explain it. It just resonated with me, and it just got under my skin, and it just wrapped around me, and I was like, holy cow, this is bad, man. This is so killer. And I just couldn't get enough, and I just looked for black dudes in all my older brother's record collection, and I pulled out black dudes, and this is probably like that other black dude I just listened to, and sure enough, you know, invariably, it was almost always, you know, killer blues that I was listening to. And I just couldn't get enough. And this was, I was probably 13 years old when that happened. And by 15, you know, I know, by the time I got my driver's license, I remember borrowing my mom's car and putting in, you know, Elmore James and Muddy Waters and all that by then. So by 15, 16, I was a full-on junkie.
So you had pretty good musical taste for a teenager.
Yeah. and thank God, the same, I was going to say problem, the same luck happened to so many of my other contemporaries, my friends, because they were listening to it too, because they had older brothers who were hip. Or if they didn't, I was turning them on to it, and they were saying, wow, you're right, this is killer, who's this, and blah, blah, blah. So there was a huge group of us. We were, you know, everybody, it's like the Carpenters and Heart and Queen and Kiss on the radio.
Hey, that's great. And we're music, listening okay? to,
hey, hey. And where did it
Don't,
come from?
I'm going to get my mom involved in this conversation. It all comes from the blues. And you're still turning people onto the blues. You've got a show, Red, White, and Blues, on KRCL. So yeah. Locally, what do we got going on here in the blues scene here in Utah?
Well, it of course, it was super strong in the 80s and into the 90s with the Dead Goat and the Zephyr. I mean, I was going out to... sometimes four nights a week catching a blues band, but definitely once or twice. I mean, the Dead Goat every Monday night was a national blues artist. So
was this an old venue? Sorry, Brian. Yeah. A little before my time.
The Dead Goat Saloon?
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, not far from here, down on First South and West Temple.
So what are some memorable acts you saw there?
Oh, geez. I couldn't even begin to recount. Everybody and anybody. You know, Kenny Neal, our headliner, played there. Rod Piazza and the Mighty Flyers played there a bunch. Coco Montoya played there a ton, made his mark there. Tommy Castro, Alberta Hunter, just legend upon legend upon legend. Eddie Shaw from Howlin' Wolf's band. I remember one time Eddie Shaw was playing at the Zephyr Club, a block from the Dead Goat, and B.B. King was playing at Symphony Hall a block away. And after the show, when I was talking to B.B., I said, hey, your buddy Eddie Shaw is playing a block away at the Zephyr. And I brought B.B. King over to the Zephyr Club and sat with him and watched Eddie Shaw.
What, are you friends with B.B. King?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well.
I still got
Brian Kelm.
I got his number right here in my cell phone, and I can't
read that on air, though.
No. Well, of course he died about 5 years ago, and I just can't get around to deleting it. I can't do it. So it's still here. I got his number.
So lots of good memories in the blues scene here in Utah. And let's go back to the Utah Blues Society's mission of kind of turning kids onto this. Why do you think it still resonates with them, with young people?
Well, I think because it's so raw and so it resonates with some, not so much with others. It resonates with the smart, discerning, musically inclined kids because they get it. Others, it doesn't. They're just going to be brainwashed by the pre-programmed saccharine, electronic computer-generated garbage that a human barely even touched.
Tell us how you really feel, Brian.
Okay, well, then can I say George Carlin's seven dirty words?
No, definitely not. Okay. Definitely not.
In that case, I'll just leave it at that there's some kids that are smarter than others, and the smart ones, they get it, and they appreciate it. And a lot of times it's because they have older brothers or nowadays parents who are turning them on to blues. But it's just frustrating, as I alluded to earlier in the program, about how some people think they don't like blues, and it's just garbage, and they think it all sounds the same. If you come and you start about 3:15 mid-afternoon when Anika Chambers comes on, and you think she sounds anything like Samantha Fish, who you think sounds like Rod Piazza, who you believe sounds like Kenny Neal, you need to get the wax out of your ears, man. They are all so completely different, and they will all move you to the core. And as I mentioned, it's if you can just get the kids, get adults, get anybody to a blues show who doesn't think they're a blues fan, I guarantee you they will be by the end of the night, or they got a hole in their soul.
Brian Kelm making it his mission to get you to listen to the blues. And you can do so at the Utah Blues Festival this Saturday. Brian, give us a few more details. Where's the festival at?
It's downtown at the Gallivan Center. So there's lots of grass now. They redid it. There's lots of trees, grass. So you can bring, you know, a blanket, bring an umbrella. We can't allow coolers. That's by law, not our choice. But we will have half a dozen killer food vendors and about half a dozen different beers, lots of micro beers. So you can't bring any alcohol or food in there. Kids 12 and under are free. And we'll have vendors there as well, some nonprofit vendors as well, and arts and crafts. And tons more information at utahbluesfest.org, where you can get tickets, or you can get tickets at the door, either way.
Either way, good to go. And it's noon to 10 p.m.?
Right.
10 p.m.
Noon to 10. We always break the curfew a little bit. They don't seem to mind.
That seems like a very rock and roll thing to do, Brian.
Yeah. Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining me on Downtown SLC. Make sure to head over to the festival. I mean, it's summer in Salt Lake. It's festival season. Why not get a little bit of blues in your Saturday?
Absolutely. Looks like we got a good day ahead of us, too, so...
Looks like it.
We'll see you there.
See you there. Brian, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Emily.
This has been Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm Emily Means. Thanks for listening.